Praise the Lord.
Well, this is one of my favorite songs. It's a hard song, so extend grace to us. Pray for us. Really sing loud. That will help. But this song is called Happy Day. And that's a reality. That's a truth that we have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to rejoice. That thing just jumped off on me. Hang on. There we go. Yeah, we have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to have joy in our hearts and not sadness. And so when we sing this song, what I want you to do is think of the reasons as you sing it, not just what's up on the screen, but make it personal. Why do you have reasons to have joy and happiness in your heart? Obviously, death is beaten. He's rescued me. Those are reasons. But I also want you to make it personal. Connect with our worship this morning. Don't let it just be words. Let it be something that is a heart experience. Because it's easy to go through motions when we're worshiping. And even though that will do something, I just want us to make sure that we're receiving everything that the Lord has for us today. So, Father, we just commit this day into your hands and let us experience, Lord, a deeper level of your joy and happiness. In Jesus' name.
Greatest day in history. Death has beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out. Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out. Jesus is alive. Yeah.
Never failed me yet. I never
This song has... Jesse, can you take it back up to the main verse? Yeah, draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. The next one. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Then help me find my way or the way and bring me back to you. What I want to point out is, I may have said this before, but we can have a view of God that he's out there somewhere, that we have to connect with him and that we have to try to find some pathway here, whether it be, you know, a prayer mountain somewhere, or whether it be, you know, a worship song or whatever it is. And we think that that will get us to his very presence, but he abides in us. He lives in us. That's why I like this part of the song where it says, help me know that you are near. In other words, he's not far away. He's not distant from us. He is near. He is in us. And so the way to find him is to allow him to be who he is already in us. And yeah, sometimes that means we have to lay down other things. We have to, looks like we're going.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
So we're back here again. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to realize that he is there in us, with us, and that we need to just lay down things that are keeping us from being able to see that. And the main thing is our lack of understanding of how much we're loved. Because I believe if we could come to a place where we know that we're fully 100% loved, not because of what we do, not because of what we didn't do, but because we're his, because we're his children, and he can't help but love us, because God is love. And when we get to that place where we know that we're loved, then it's so much easier to realize that because he loves us, he dwells in us. Because he loves us, he has us be his temple, a holy place where he can be. Not because, again, because of our behavior, but because of what he's done on the cross. And so when we sing, you're all I want, you're all I've ever needed, sometimes our life doesn't reflect that. I used to sing that and go like, oh, I feel like a hypocrite because I'm saying you're all I want, you're all I've ever needed. And I've done other things. But he understands that we still have to live a life. He understands that we still get distracted. But in the core of our being, he is all we want. In the core of who we are, we're fulfilled in him. We're content in him. Let's sing it one more time. All we want. He's all we ever need. Sometimes we just need to let our lives fully reflect that by just realizing how much we're loved. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
This morning I was listening to a sermon that was being preached by somebody that we know, or my husband and I know, and something that he said, he's been battling a physical issue his whole life, and at age 20 it almost took his life. There's a scripture, and I've been looking for it. I haven't been able to find it, but it says, you know, that the darkness is going to come and everybody is going to be still. In other words, everyone is going to die. But while it is still day, we have work to do. As a body of Christ, we have work to do. Huh? Well, thank you, Walking Bible. Romans 13, my husband said. So Romans 13, and I don't even know what scripture it is, so maybe he'll find it for me while we're talking. But I got to thinking about that because I, this year, have been battling a lot of, well, it doesn't seem like it should be the year because it's only March, but I've been battling a lot of physical things. And I just have to say that it feels as if, and I'm not saying our church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, is sitting down. To me, it feels like that. Like we are waiting for God to do something. And if you look back in scripture, in the Old Testament, through the New Testament, he used people to do his thing. He used Moses. He used David. He used Lydia. We're going to be talking today about Stephen and Saul. He uses us. He wants us. And sometimes I don't think we recognize how deeply he longs for us. Like, I went to a funeral yesterday and I saw so many young people weeping. So many kids crying. And it was heartbreaking to see them with no hope. But he's come to give us hope. Mm-hmm. He's come to give us life. And life so abundant that we would have no wants or needs or anything. And you're like, how does that work? Like, you're just saying you're struggling physically. Well, you know, we have a physical body that we're templed in or tented in, but this doesn't determine who I am in God, this body. This body doesn't, you know, it doesn't determine who I am in him. My spirit man is soaring, even if my physical body is sitting down. And I want to be used by him. I want to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. You remember that old song? Yes, mm-hmm. Lord, yes. I want to say yes. And I don't want it to be a begrudging thing. As I sat in that service yesterday, there's more than 1,000 people. Biggest service I've ever been to. And I'm listening to the songs this young man had recorded, worshiping God, loving God. And God's not surprised by the 18-year-old that's now in his presence. He's not shocked by that. I know that surprises some people, but he isn't. I think what he's more shocked by is how many of his kids, those that he's made, say no to him. Mm-hmm. I think that shocks him more. I think that Trey's life on earth was a complete life. And I don't know if you guys have ever been in a service where they say every head bowed, every eye closed, you know. Does anybody want to give their heart to the Lord? But they did that yesterday. It's been a long time since I've been in a service like that. But all these young people, hand after hand after hand, going up before the Lord. Trey's life was complete. Look what his death brought. Hearts to God. I looked. Sorry, apparently you guys know that. I did. I wanted to see what his life really had exuded. And all these young hands are going up all around. Some of them not so young, maybe young at heart. But what I'm trying to say is his purpose in our life depends on our yes or our no. It does. And we may not feel worthy of being called by him. We may not feel
qualified.
But God does not call the qualified or the equipped. He equips the called. Right. He equips and qualifies the called. You may not feel equipped. You may not feel qualified. We sit up here every Sunday, and most times I don't feel qualified. Most times. But I'm saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. These girls back here, they went to school with Trey. They walked halls with Trey. They know. Trey loved God. He did. He may not have made the wisest decisions in his life, but he loved God. That didn't change a thing. Do you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? Have you allowed the enemy to throw curveballs at you, and you have taken those curveballs as gospel truth that maybe this kind of stuff isn't even really meant for me? Maybe I'm not meant to be a God kid. Well, let me tell you, yes, you are. The enemy would lie to your spirit and tell you, no, I'm not, but you are. Because he loves you. He absolutely adores you. The ground you walk on, he's placing it before you. Don't allow the whisper of the enemy to supersede the outright beckoning call of God on your life. The whisper of the enemy should not be louder than the call of God. It may be there. You may have to fight it, but it shouldn't be louder than the call of God. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the enemy whispers to our spirit. And sometimes we listen and sometimes we say, get out of here. Like, dude, no, not happening. And no matter how old we get or what we do, we will always battle that whisper in our spirit. We will always, because he will always be trying to win. But you know what? There has to come a time where we take a stand instead of sitting. We take a stand for God and we say, right now, I'm done. I did that when I was a teenager. And boy, life has been handed to me in a handbasket most times. But you know what? God, through every bit of it, has been with me, loving me, holding me, caring for me, nurturing me. Sustaining me. Are you sustained today in God? Or are you just barely getting by Sunday to Sunday as you come in here and sit down? Are you barely eking out what you got last Sunday as you walk through the doors this Sunday? Or are you so confident in who God has made you? Who he loves you. He loves you. And I will say this, and it may be very unpopular. You don't need this church. You don't need any church. The reason we come to church is to edify one another, to build one another up, to learn more about God if we need to. But you don't need church to determine who you are in God. Oh, is that ever unpopular news to most people? What you do need is the knowing that goes off deep inside. I know that I know above all that I know. He loves me. He's called me. I am a child of God. I have a purpose in this life. The enemy has tried to take me out, but I will not allow it to happen. No matter what you're battling, whether it be physical, spiritual, mentally, emotionally, it doesn't matter what you're battling. What matters is who wins. Mm-hmm. We win because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We win. It's not what the enemy can do. It's what Jesus has already done for us. And why? It's a four-letter word. L-O-V-E. Now, there's a four-letter word you can take to the bank. That's a four-letter word that most people aren't expecting to come out of most people's mouth. Love. Love. People may not do it the way you think they need to do it this life, and they may not say it the way it needs to be said, but in you and in God, together, the two of you, the mountains you can move. We were talking about this morning, that when we were teaching children's church, Pastor Ken's young granddaughter at the time, Madison, and we would ask her every time, 4 years old, Madison, what moves mountains? She says, faith moves mountains. Like she knew what moved a mountain, you know. It wasn't a bulldozer or anything else. Faith moves mountains. That girl is serving in the mission field. She's going on mission trips. She's learning to be a nurse so she can take it over to people that need it. I mean, I'm just saying, guys, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling, but no, it's been a weekend. It's been a weekend. And what I'm saying is God has a plan for each one of us. And if you think that you have taken the wrong steps on that road in that plan, God's okay. Have you ever gone to a place and you've had to go around a couple of blocks in order to be able to get in the right way? You may have not gone straight A to A. You may have gone A to B to A. But it doesn't matter. You end up where God wants you. You may have taken the B path. God's okay with that. Just turn around. Come back to A. Come back to Him. And let's move on. You don't have to go back to the beginning. This is not a get out of jail free card. This is not, you need to go back to go and start all over. Mm-mm. You start where you stopped. God doesn't need you to do redos. He's enough to cover all that stuff. If you went around the block a few times, it's okay. That's okay. Let's get back on the right road. Let's go the right direction. God has a plan for your life. He has a need of you. And it's something someone else cannot do. I cannot reach the people Junior reaches. I cannot reach the people Tara reaches. I can't reach the people Bunny reaches. But I can reach the people that God's placed in my path. Get back on the path. Get back on the road. And don't think all of this has been for naught. This life that's just so crazy and messed up. It's not been for naught. God has a plan for all of it. He does. He loves you. He absolutely adores you. Receive that into your spirit today. Say yes. Instead of sitting down, stand up. Move on. Don't let what the enemy's thrown in your path derail you from what God has for your future. Don't let that happen. Nice try, but it's not going to work. That's what you need to be saying. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, here's that scripture.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see where we go with this, because I think the other one's on hold. A detour ahead. We're detouring today, so we'll do that another time. Here's the scripture that you were thinking of. I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Romans 13:11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. So for salvation is near to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Just talking about the times that Paul was in, mm-hmm. and he was saying that salvation is nearer to him than when he first believed.
Sure.
And, you know, we're 2,000 years almost down the road from him, so salvation is near to us now than when Paul first believed. But even to us who have believed before, now our day that we're living in here today, we're closer to salvation. Because true salvation isn't just, you know, when you give your heart to Jesus and you say, Lord, you know, I give you it all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I
turn from my wicked way,
I repent, all those things. And then you receive that light that imparts your heart. And all of a sudden you see things clear. You know, it's like, I remember when I first got saved, it's all of a sudden, wow, everything just seems like it's making sense now. Where life just was kind of like muddled and foggy, all of a sudden it was making sense that there was something more to my life than life, and that was him. And that once I believed that day, yeah, it was a salvation experience, but the beginning of salvation. Mm-hmm. But as I've said before, the name salvation, interesting enough, is in the Hebrew, Yeshua. And Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. So Jesus, his name means salvation. So our salvation, our Jesus, is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And I don't know if that's in your case, but our Christianity, our walk, that's what it should be. That salvation should be our experience with God being near. You know, help me know. That song was so appropriate. Help me know that you're near. Help me know that you're not far away. Help me know that I'm not, you know, just some, you know, animal life form here on planet Earth groping around.
Taking up this space,
trying to, you know, claw my way into some kind of, you know, place of, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, where I'm fulfilled. You know, and there's individuals that believe that. Unfortunately, they believe that they've crawled out of some mud pit somewhere. At least their ancestors did, and formed into this, you know, amazing. Because I'll tell you what, if you watch any science on the human body, they can't explain some of the stuff that goes on in us. You know, and that's supposed to happen by accident? I mean, just getting off of the Big Bang. Okay, so I'm going to take a beautiful, you know, how about this, a Mona Lisa, something that we all know is highly valued, very intricate. And I'm going to take the Mona Lisa over there, and I'm going to place some TNT by it, or some, you probably know what kind of stuff to use, don't you? Like, what's that stuff they use in the military?
C4,
there we go, C4. And I'm going to set a timer, and I'm going to blow it up, okay? And when it blows up, it's going to make itself into a beautiful vase. It's going to change from that form into a beautiful... What's going to happen to it when it blows up? Yeah. So that right there, common sense. I think if you were to sit down little kids and you told them what the Big Bang is, they'd go, that doesn't make sense. An explosion made all of this. But I will say that God's divine power, as he spoke a word, that could have appeared as a Big Bang, but it wasn't chaos. It was divine order. And we are that product of his divine order. We are made in his image. Not in the image of, you know, a chimpanzee, not in the image of, you know, anything else on this earth or in this solar system or in this universe. We were made divinely in his image. That's one of the reasons why Satan hates us so much. You think Satan just hates you because, you know, you're here on earth and he just, you know, hates earthlings. No, he hates you because you've been made in his image. He hates you because you have something he didn't. We have his very breath in us. This is the air I breathe. And so our salvation is nearer than when we first believed.
Right.
So like you said, what are we going to do with it?
Right.
How are we going to respond to such a great salvation? How are we going to change maybe some of our behaviors and our ideas? And maybe even our ways of thinking as Christians could potentially keep us from fulfilling who he's called us to be. Which I know that's hard to hear sometimes. Sometimes our very doctrines and belief systems that we set up, not just things that we've heard from the world teaching. Sometimes things that we have to let go of those. We have to say, God, I'm willing and available for you to teach me. I'm willing to let down things that I've held sacred. You know, sometimes we can hold doctrines so strong that they're like idols, to the place where we can't even love a brother and sister. To me, that's an idol. If you've got some doctrine, yes, I mean, if they're calling Jesus some kind of, you know, magician, yeah, I mean, you don't have to fellowship with them and you can still love them. But I'm talking about because someone believes that, you know, I believe that the Holy Spirit works in your life this way. No, he works in it this way. No, you're wrong. You're the devil. Hello? You both believe in Jesus. You both love Jesus. You both walk in his light, right? So how can you even figure out how the Holy Spirit works in your life? Last time I heard, the Holy Spirit's God. Can anybody explain God? No. So we see the results of the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus says, we see the wind blowing. We see it rustling the trees. Oh, the wind is those leaves. No, the wind is what affected the leaves. So we see someone's life being moved by the Holy Spirit. We think, oh, that's the way the Holy Spirit works in every life. No. No, the Holy Spirit is unique in each and every one of us. Just as we have a unique in relationship, every single one of us, with God ourselves. No person's alike. No walk is alike.
And that's why I can't reach people Junior reaches, or I can't
exactly
reach people Tara or Bunny reach, because they are unique in themselves. And the aura that they carry is attractive to a certain demographic of people that I would never be, they would never be drawn to me. But let me just say this. I think the whole reason I said all of this was to say God has a work to do, but he needs us. He needs us to say yes, even if we don't see how he could possibly use this person. You know? Come on, really? He has a work that needs to be done. But we have to say yes. We have to. We can say no. No is an option. He gives us free will. But then would you really be happy? Would you really be fulfilled? Would you really be content in who you are and who God has called you to be? I don't think so. I don't think there's a fulfillment in that. Nikki?
Well, like we were talking about on Thursday.
Wednesday night?
Why don't I take this?
Because it used to be.
Yeah, because are you hearing okay, Phyllis? Am I talking loud enough today?
Come over here.
Am I talking loud enough when I talk? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. I just thought of it. Oh,
well, it's like Gaylene and I were talking on Wednesday. We're not the same people we were when we started church here.
No.
We're not the same Christians that we started when we came.
Hopefully that's the case, right?
Right, definitely. We have to be willing to grow, and growth means change. And so here's a word picture. Tim and I got married 34 years ago. I'm not the same little girl that I was when I married him 34 years ago, or he would not have anything to do with me. It wouldn't be a good marriage. You know, we've changed. We've grown together. We've changed together. We've had different ideas, and we've had same ideas, but we've changed.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that we've changed our salvation. It means that we've changed because of salvation, and we've changed because we've matured in the Lord, and that we're willing to let him mature us, even if it means letting go of stuff that you know, we thought was right at the time or whatever. And it doesn't mean that it was wrong, because at that time it was right.
It's what we knew.
It was what God had in us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when we know better, we do better. So
that's good.
Bob?
Supernatural. If we could do it, God wouldn't get glory.
Right.
So he calls us to do things that we cannot do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get any glory for it because it's impossible in a human body. Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we have this glory in earthen vessels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. So powerful.
Praise the Lord.
I do want to ask you guys to be praying for mom and dad of Trey, Heidi and Donovan, and just keep them close to your hearts. We've known them for years, and we've buried a child. Mm-hmm. So we know the grief and the shock and the bubble that they're living in right now. And so just, I'm telling you, because of someone that has buried a child, they really need our prayers. And you may not know them, but you know them because you're a daughter or a son of God, and so are they. So just lift them in prayer and ask God to bring comfort and peace to them during this time, because this is a new road for them. This is a road not traveled by them. And,
why don't you take a moment and pray for them now? We'll all agree, too.
Okay. So, Father, we do come to you right now and lifting Donovan and Heidi and Elisha to you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just pray, Lord God, during this time, Father, that you'd be ever so near. Mm-hmm. God, that your comfort and your peace would just be so tangible where they're at. God, in the times that they're unsure about what's happening or why they feel the things they feel, Father, remind them. Remind them how quick this life is on earth and that they will soon again see Trey, God.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
I just pray for Dan and I pray for all the extended family, God, that you would comfort them, God,
yes,
and that you would walk with them. Father, as this is a different road, a new road, a road that's not often traveled, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would put road signs down so that they can see you on that road, God, so they will know that you're with them, God. Father, I especially lift Heidi to you right now as a mom that is born, raised, and lost a child of her womb. God, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would comfort her heart, God, and her mind, God. Father, that as these foggy days turn into days of clarity of loss and clarity of new ways and clarity of a different walk, God, that you would just be in every step, Father. Father, we just pray for them today. We pray for them for peace and for comfort and for love,
Lord,
to just overflow in them, God.
Yes, flood their hearts with love.
Yes, God, flood their hearts,
flood their
with
hearts
your
with love.
Love and your peace, God. Holy Spirit, you are not,
yes,
you are not just here. You are in them, God. And so we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just stir in them a heart of love, God. Stir in them, Father, in that grieving, God. Stir in them comfort, God. Holy Spirit, just be near.
Yes,
in Jesus'
Lord.
Name we pray,
yes,
these things.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It almost seems like for a long time in our lives, I'm going to just talk about you, that it was all about sin and what we shouldn't do. And now, like in the past 7 years or so, it's about love and what we could do or should do or can do. It's just totally changed. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
it was such, we were pointing so at sin and what you shouldn't do, and not that that's bad.
Yeah, it says right here to cast off the, make no provision for the
flesh. So it's not that they were doing that, God is love. God is, it doesn't say God is the sin eraser, though he is. But it says God is love. And we have, for years, we pointed to the sin eraser, and it had such a negative connotation. But now, God is love, you guys. He is. He's love. Do you need love today? Do you need to be overwhelmed with love today?
You could say this love is why he is the sin eraser.
Yes.
Because it says that God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
And Christ's death is what erases our sin. Christ's burial and resurrection is what does it. But it's his love that drove that. See, without love, God would have just left us to our own means. Mm-hmm. Without love, we would still be trying to figure things out in a very corrupt state.
Yeah.
But because of love, restoration is our future.
Yes.
He is the God of restoration.
Restoration is the reason
mm-hmm.
that we have future. It's because we're restored to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone?
Phyllis?
Oh, Phyllis has something. Oh, good.
Our family has been going through some hard times with my son-in-law. And Mike said, let the Lord know. Let me know that you're here, Lord, in my prayers. And I want to tell you two little things that brought it all down. A couple of days ago, I got a bill in the mail. And when I do my bills at the first of the month, I mark out so much for everything. My water bill was $5 less than what I had put aside. And the question came up in our home. My husband has to see a doctor. He needs that $5 for the doctor. Then, lo and behold, yesterday, my light bill came. I had exactly put down what I figured it was going to be. Well, it was a little colder last month and heat a little higher. And I had to come up with $9. I had enough to get our groceries and everything. But I had $9 over. And you know, people don't stop and think how the Lord shows you that he's there for you. We're having a hard time in our home. And yet, that song is so true to me because I know he's there for Ken and I. Mm-hmm. All this snow, my husband has made no money extra, not a dime. Because he can't work on metal in the middle of a snowstorm. And yet, we still have $100 in my checking, and I have not grocery shopped yet for the month of March.
Wow.
There was food left over, and we had some things given to us. Just little things. Please understand, the Lord is with you.
Amen.
If you look, or if you stop and say, oh, there's another miracle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's so obvious in our home in these last few months. And I want to take this moment at 9:45. My daughter and son-in-law will see a video of what the MRI showed on my son-in-law's cancer. See if the radiation stopped the cancer or what. And we need your prayers at 9:45 tomorrow when my daughter and son-in-law see that video. We're thinking positive. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But we know that God's in charge.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
How many need their lenses cleaned so they can see that kind of stuff in their life? How many need to be today overwhelmed by the love of God? To feel the move and the love of God in you? Is there anybody here that would say, it's me? I need to feel the love of God.
Can we play some music?
Mm-hmm.
Can we play some soft music, Jesse? I just sense that we just need to love on one another.
Some Paul on.
So if there's anybody that just needs to be loved on by God, this area is open. We're just going to open for a time of prayer and worship. And if you have a need, I want you to come forward. We prayed for Richard last week, but Phyllis can stand in again for Richard this week. Anybody else? I don't want there to be anybody. And then, if it's not you, ask God, God, do you need me to pray for somebody? Because that's that saying, yes, I'll be used. Yes, even though I don't feel qualified. Yes, I can put my hand on my sister's shoulder and I can pray for her. I can pray for him. So we're going to play this music and just open up this area here. And please, just if you need love, need to be loved on by God, just come forward. Just receive what he has for you today.
Or just a touch. If you just need him to just touch your
healing.
Life. Or healing. I lose my... Oh. And we'll pray for your tooth, that it's going to be good. Nate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Nate suffered a...
Bobby, look at you.
Yeah.
Darling.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Father, we just... Just pray for this tooth, Lord, that you would allow it to be, Lord, restored. Lord, we pray right now for a supernatural touch even, Lord, on his life. We ask for full recovery. We ask for full healing now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask what the enemy is meant for evil here, that you would make it good. Father, just let him just experience your presence. Let him know that you're near him. Lord, that he's not alone. Lord, that you're always with him. Never leave him or forsake him. But just bless him now in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. blessing.
Anybody else?
You wanted to receive his love.
Yes. I wanted to ask for God to forgive our sins and rise in our heart.
Amen.
That's his children.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just lift Herman's family, Lord, before your throne of grace right now, Lord. Lord, as he's holding them in his heart, Lord, and he's standing here, Lord, before you, Lord, saying, I want your touch to be in their lives, Lord, like it's been in my life. I want you to receive, Lord, to let them receive, Lord, what I have received, your love, your goodness, your forgiveness, your grace, your healing, healing of emotions, healing of hurts in the past. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, for every member of his family, Lord, near and far, Lord, the ones close, Lord, even the ones, Lord, that maybe he hasn't seen for years, Lord, we pray that this family, God, would be touched in a supernatural way. Saved entire households, Lord. We've seen it, Lord, here physically, Lord. We've seen families, Lord, entire brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles come, Lord. So right now, Lord, we agree with Herman's desire, Lord, as he stands in the gap for his family. We just release, Lord, your harvesting angels now to go to the highways and the byways, Lord, and to compel them to come in, Lord, that you would cause circumstances and situations, Lord, detours and roadblocks, Lord, and just full encounters with love, Lord, to come into their lives. That over the next months, weeks, years, Lord, that testimonies would be coming in, Lord, of how you have worked, Lord. I know he's not the only one that prays for them, Lord, but we know that there's days of reckoning, Lord. So I'm believing, God, that this is a day, Lord, a demarcation day, Lord, for his family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else? The Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your love, first of all.
Yes, God.
That as that song says, love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set us free. That because of that, I'm yours. I'm forever yours. Lord, so we agree, Lord, with the words of that song, the reality, Lord, that love is what motivates you. Love is what directs you. Love is who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be people of love. As we're people of God, but, Lord, we'd be people of love. We'd be people that reflect love, people that release love, people that give love, Lord. Not because it's some dutiful thing to do, Lord, but because we are loved. That we realize that all of our failures and all of our shortcomings, Lord, are overwhelmed by your love.
Yes, God.
So, Lord, I pray that we would just be able to be, as Pastor Gabe was saying, be who you've called us to be. That we would be able to be awakened, Lord, in this time of how you want us to be used by you. And we say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord, to you. We say yes, Lord, to your love. And we say yes, Lord, to your plan and purposes yes. for our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we'll get to the detour later on. It was funny, wasn't it? Huh? Today, no, well, it may have been.